Well, good morning. This is Per Fagerang, and the show is Fight the Empire. And the theme for today is from a statement by Malcolm X. He said, "I'm for truth, no matter who says it." So that's what we're going to kind of focus on, or try to focus on. I'd like to say that my conclusion about Donald Trump is that, yeah, Trump is crazy. He's very obviously crazy. The only problem is that a lot of his opponents, they are crazy too, but they are crazy in a very different way. They are much more calm and rational, and they have their very quiet fixations. And a good example of that was the late Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was a big foreign policy advisor in the Washington establishment. Now, he grew up in Poland, and his fixation was on freeing Poland from the Soviet Union. Great, okay. And in furtherance of that fixation, when he was the foreign policy advisor to President Jimmy Carter, he got maneuvered or got the Soviets to invade Afghanistan. Which is what actually gave Osama bin Laden his start in world affairs. A lot of people think that, well, when we were giving support to the Afghan Mujahideen, that we were doing this in response to the Soviets, but it wasn't quite true. In fact, Brzezinski himself said it was not true. He gave an interview to a French magazine back in the late 90s, and he said the whole idea was to get them to invade. He wanted the Soviets in Afghanistan to give them their own, sort of their own Vietnam to get bogged down into, which is what happened. Well, yes, it got the Soviets bogged down. It sort of led to the collapse of the Soviet Union, but it also got this whole jihadi movement going, gave them a big boost. And later on, when Brzezinski was called on this, he said it was still a good move. It was good. On the one hand, you had Polish freedom. And in comparison to that, what matter is a few, and this is his quote, some stirred up Muslims. Well, here we are, 20 years later, we are still in Afghanistan. We're still bogged down. Now we are the ones who are bogged down, and it's bleeding this country, all the wars we're fighting. And this all came from people like Brzezinski, and you have to remember that Jimmy Carter signed off on this, here we are, bogged down, and this is the work of some of these sort of more rational, sane people in the Washington establishment. Very interesting regarding Afghanistan. Donald Trump said something recently about talking with the Taliban. Now, he says one thing one day and something else the next, and there's no telling how far he might go with this. But it's interesting that he said something about this. So anyway, I'm for truth no matter who tells it. That's what Malcolm X said. I think one thing to keep in mind about the whole Russiagate, Russian interference in our elections goes is that, it doesn't get mentioned, but the original material, the DNC material, was true. It consisted of speeches that Hillary Clinton gave to the Wall Street bankers, and it included evidence that the DNC had kind of sabotaged or messed with Bernie Sanders' campaign so that Clinton would be nominated. And that is all true. So, in other words, we are blaming the Russians for hacking or leaking or whatever, material that the American people really had a right to know. We should know what Hillary Clinton said to the Wall Street bankers. We should know what the DNC did to Bernie Sanders' campaign. So that's a thing. That is what the leaks. And then, like, then we get to the question of, William Binney was interviewed, I think it was yesterday or the day before, on Flashpoints. It was an excellent interview by Kevin Pina. And it goes into the whole thing that the material was a leak. It was not a hack. According to Binney, who's been in the NSA for 30-some years, a hack would take too long, judging from the time signatures on this material. And it gets kind of technical, just judging from the time it took, it had to be a leak. Somebody in the DNC must have put in a thumb drive somewhere, downloaded all the stuff, and passed it on to WikiLeaks, and then it got out to the world. But the whole Russiagate narrative still goes on the assumption that it was a hack and not a leak. So the basis of the whole story, you know, whatever the Russians might have done, is kind of false. It's based on a falsehood that it was a hack and not a leak, and it sort of glides over the fact that the material was something that the people had a right to know. So as far as a Russiagate interference thing goes, leaves us with, all the social media bots and people. That is where it gets really confusing. As far as I can tell, some Russian troll factory, which may or may not have been connected with Putin, did a lot of diddling around on the on Facebook and other social media, and they put out some pretty weird messages and pictures and things like that, and that they were sort of passed along by other people in the social media. So maybe there it is, I don't know. Anyway, if people want to call in about this so we could get a little conversation going on this, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Do you think the material was leaked or hacked? How much do you think the Russians were involved? Do you think Trump is the only crazy one floating around the world these days, or do you think other people might be crazy too in their own special way trying to get us into a war? That seems to be where Washington establishment, which is what Trump calls a swamp, I think they've been pushing for some kind of confrontation with Russia. They probably think that they can be careful and that they won't let it suddenly devolve into a full-scale war, that they can somehow push the Russians around short of war, and somehow we can finish up their unfinished project, which was back in the 1990s after the Soviet Union collapsed and Boris Yeltsin became president. Basically, he sold off Russia to Western financial interests. They sort of looted Russia. They bought up Russia for pennies on the ruble or whatever. And that is where they got very rich. And that's where the oligarchs, you hear about oligarchs a lot. As far as I can tell, there's way over 100 oligarchs in the world. They're all fabulously wealthy. Well, the original oligarchs came when the U.S. got into Russia and began buying it up real cheap. That's how those oligarchs first got rich. And this went on for almost 10 years under Boris Yeltsin. And then at the end of 1999, Putin became president. And he largely, as far as I can tell, he largely put a stop to it. He wasn't able to put a stop to the entire thing. He was still left with some oligarchs who had a lot of money to throw around. but he sort of was forced to reach a standoff with them that if they would pay their taxes to Russia, he would leave them alone as long as they didn't, you know, enjoy their wealth, do their business, as long as the business was more or less legitimate, and he would leave them alone. And I think that is more or less what happened. So you have some of these oligarchs took that deal. They are doing business in Russia, making a lot of money, but they are apparently paying their taxes. Other oligarchs went to jail. Like one of them is Khodorkovsky. You know, you might ask how this guy got all his billions of dollars. And so there were these oligarchs. A lot of them live abroad now. So there we are. If you want to call in, the number to call is 503-231-8187. What do you think of Trump's performance? It was really a weird performance, I have to say that. And we can talk about that. We can talk about the indictments that came down from Robert Mueller. And it's very interesting about them that I was hoping that we'd have a guest on this show. This person really worth reading is Joe Lauria. And he is a veteran newspaper guy. He is now the editor of Consortium News, replacing Robert Perry, who died earlier this year or fairly recently, who was one of the lone voices of sanity in Washington, D.C. And so Joe Lauria has got some very good articles in Consortium News. One of them, the headline is, "Evidence Will Probably Never Be Produced in Indictments of Russian Agents," quote. And he gives the reasons why. For one thing is that the 12 Russians who were indicted, they are all in Russia, and they are very, very unlikely to ever come to this country to go on trial. I think we have a caller. Mark is on the line. Morning, Mark.
Hi, Per. Per, you know, it seems like what all this Russia stuff is done nothing more than sow the seeds of some kind of civil rebellion that is fuming,
a fuming here or fuming over there?
Oh, here.
Here, okay.
I mean, you have all these groups out in the streets, Trump supporters, Antifa people. You know, you should never trust a person that's wearing a mask and is carrying a baseball bat.
Well, I say, I don't know, the Zapatistas wear masks, too. I kind of trust them, but I don't think they carry baseball bats, although they did have an armed rebellion in Mexico back in 1994, I think it was.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, Mexico is a failed state.
It is, yes.
Why in the world would so many Mexicans be coming to the United States if Mexico was not a failed state? And so that is what really ought to should be discussed, rather than the fact that you have all these people coming up here. It seems like the seeds of a civil war are, and the whole thing is totally ridiculous. If you look at Trump in comparison with the other blackguards that have been president, when you look at Lyndon Johnson, who more than likely killed Kennedy. When you look at George W. Bush, who may not have been involved in a 9/11 event, but certainly went along with it when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you look at Clinton, how he sold us down the tubes with these. He was a person who okayed all this financial shenanigans. He repealed the Glass-Steagall
Act.
Yes, he repealed that, and then he took care of the Communications Act by allowing half a dozen people now to be owners of the entire media outlets of the United States, KBOO not included. But you know, people are so easily have their minds turned around. That box that you look at, I mean, is owned by somebody else, and their aim in life is just to control you.
Well, I don't know. I don't own one of those boxes. I don't have a TV. I get most of my news from KBOO. I listen to NPR with kind of grudgingly, and I get a lot of information on the internet. It's amazing. A lot of information there if you just kind of hunt around for it.
Oh, it's amazing how much information's on the internet. There's all these sites that have been around for years and years. You know, I look at Rents. Of course, he's looked at as some kind of crackpot, but Jeff Rentz used to be on a Portland television a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we got another caller, so thanks for calling. And
thanks for being there, Pear.
Sharing with us. I think we got Joe on the line. Morning, Joe.
Oh, hi, Pear. It's a pseudonym, but I maybe you know who I am, but I love your program. But I wanted to clarify, even I respect Teresa and you very much, but what you're specifically talking about with the Russian baloney is yesterday's Flashpoint. William Binney was on there.
I heard that. It was a great interview.
That
yes.
was a hell of an interview, and you know what? People need to know that. Just go to kbo.fm/flashpoints yesterday, the 17th. It was a magnificent interview,
and it
clarified all this strict crazy the way the media, normal, ordinary, stupid, established press, it just fed junk. And then they just repeat it.
Well, you know, Kevin Peeney's a very good interviewer, and he's a great, he is a real good resource on Haiti. He knows Haiti. He's lived there. His wife is Haitian, and you get, he will give you news from Haiti that you don't hear in the, on the establishment press.
Well, I think if you heard it yesterday, which you did, you say, Counterpoint is the only, besides Flashpoints, you know, that was a brilliant interview, and it lays out all of the statutes, everything else. They could charge somebody with, you know, meddling with voting, and he laid out all the federal legal issues involved in the so-called charges about Russiagate. So it's a very serious time. I think they're trying to start a new Cold War, or even, as you said, possibly a shooting war. They're crazy.
Well, I think they are in their own way. But anyway.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, and I've got somebody else on the line.
Ken,
okay. Good morning, yeah. Ken.
First of all, I got to say, I totally agree with the two previous callers. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that doesn't seem to get mentioned very much, and I read this on Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden's site a couple of days ago. Of the 30-something thousand emails that were put out by Hillary Clinton on her unsecured server, only 4,000 of them were recognizable. Recipient, the other couple thousand, 120,000 or whatever, went to an unknown foreign source. Why doesn't this, and so you can check it out. That was Tyler Durden, Zero Hedge, a couple of days ago. But the point of the matter is you're talking about information that's getting, was it hacked, was it leaked, whatever. How about this unsecured server? Anybody could. Furthermore, she directed clearly over like 28,000 of them to an unnamed foreign location.
Well, it'd be very nice, interesting to know who that was, you know. I think there's a lot
I'm waiting for the shoe to drop.
Well, there's a lot of investigating that needs to be done, you know, not just about Trump and the Russians, about the whole, you know, let's get all the truth. And so I want to thank you for your call, and I think we've got someone else waiting. Bruce on the line. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Pierre. I just want to say, regarding Mexico as a failed state, let's remember what Porfirio Diaz said when the revolution broke out. He said, poor Mexico, so far from God and so near the United States.
Right. That's a good one, yes. Uh-huh.
Thanks. That's all I wanted to say. If we could subvert the elections under Allende and Chile so far away, what would we do in Mexico?
Well, I don't know what. Maybe they. I don't know. It's that bears watching. It's interesting. With Porfirio Diaz. He was a ruthless dictator, but that one remark of his is very interesting. So
sure
far
is.
From God, so close to the United States. You know. Anyway, thanks for your call. Thanks for bringing that up. I think we have Linda on the line. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi, Pierre. Good morning. When I was watching what was going on the day before the summit and into the summit, it occurred to me that perhaps all of the ruling class and their intelligence, or vice versa, the intelligence and, you know, the elite that has all of it, that they had turned against him, because every single intelligence agency came out against him. And it was such a hard and public push to make him not go to the summit,
mm-hmm.
that I thought it didn't even leave any room for him to not go to the summit, because Trump isn't going to publicly cave. And yet when he came back, he did have to publicly cage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to read the statement that wasn't even something of his own, you could tell. And beyond that, he started trying to pull back from it again and again since then.
Mm-hmm.
So the vast amount of effort that was put into stopping him, and I think in that way would have been a public humiliation if he had had to back away from the summit that he said he was doing. I thought, that's very interesting. Maybe they really are fed up with him, you know, because one way that Trump will get gone, and maybe the fastest way, I mean, I actually thought this was a possibility of forming a coup of some sort that everybody would sign on to, the Democrats and the Republicans, and then, you know, like that weird Supreme Court decision that gave the election to Bush. It has no precedent in our
mm-hmm.
history. It's not legal. It's not constitutional, but
mm-hmm.
they did it.
Well,
and so I actually thought maybe we're getting to that point where all of the ruling elite parties involved are like ready to say, we want to get rid of you. We just have to figure out how.
Well, it's like, we know, when some family member goes a little bit nutty, the family people get together and they do what they call an intervention. So maybe
can only lock you away for 28 days on that.
So maybe the Washington family will do an intervention on Trump, and what happens then? Who knows? You know, do we get Mike Pence? Somebody says, I've read somewhere that if there's some sort of the right kind of intervention, they may get Pence out of there too. But I don't know. That's I think it'll be.
I can't speculate to the specifics, but it sure looked like all of them, including his old media buddies, it's like the intelligence
mm-hmm.
agencies, the military conglomerate, and all of those had said, okay, this is enough. We're going to, in concert, try to stop you.
It could be. Anyway, well, thanks.
So it says with his personality, you would think, you know, so it's confusing, but it's interesting.
Anyway, thanks for bringing that up. I think we have Steve on the line.
Thank you.
Good morning, Steve.
Hi, yes. Hi, Steve, or hi, Pear. I just wanted to say how much I enjoy your show, and I've been a longtime listener, and I think you have the best talk radio in the city. And also, I just want to do a report about the new mental assessment that they have. It's called Trump Derangement Disorder. I just heard about it this week in the news, and I think a lot of people on the left are suffering from that. There are some of the people even at KBOO possibly, and from Trump Derangement Disorder or Syndrome. That's it, Syndrome. And also, too, another aside, was the famous doctor I heard on KBOO as well, Gabor Mate, who has a book on addiction that's really great, and also on attention deficit disorder, which is also equally great.
Hey, that brings to mind, you know, he has a son named Aaron Mate, who is an interviewer on Real News, and people were talking about, you know, Korn and Isakov's book on Russiagate. Well, Aaron Mate does an interview with Michael Isakov. Look it up on Real News. That guy is really pretty sharp. And as far as the Trump disorder, you know, my theory is this, that, you know, we are stuck with a two-party system, which inevitably leads to a lesser evil approach. You know, you look at the two candidates and then, you know, you think which one is less bad than the other. Well, this lesser evilism, I think over the years it's gotten to where the evils get worse and worse, and right now it's like Trump is the perfect boogeyman. He's so scary to some people. He's so scary that they're willing to be sign in with the intelligence agencies just to save us from Donald Trump. And I think it's traceable to the two-party system, which is one of the things that these DNC hacks revealed, how the Democrats sort of conspired to get Bernie Sanders out of the picture. Anyway,
yeah, actually, I agree with you there. I think actually I take it one step further and say that we, you know, we live in a one-party system. There's just two different wings of the same party. It's
the money party, the
but
war
also
party.
It's the Trump derangement syndrome as well. And as far as Gabor Mate, he was saying when Trump was having his big feud with just recently with the Canadian Premier Trudeau. Gabor Mate, who's from Vancouver, British Columbia, came on and said, you know, this is nothing new. American presidents have been, you know, treating, you know, Canadian premiers and the Canadians not very nicely for quite some time there. And he went through a whole list of examples, and which I'm sure you could see on Gabor Mate's site, but I can't remember all of them.
Well, Trudeau sort of sold out, too, when the, you know, this pipeline, the Kinder Morgan pipeline, which people in British Columbia are very much against, although the Alberta oil people are in favor of it. And the project is kind of falling apart, and Trudeau rescued the thing by, I guess the Canadian government has actually bought the pipeline, and so they're going to try and push it through. So this is Justin Trudeau, who's sort of supposed to be a liberal of sorts. Well, he ran on the Liberal Party, and so I don't know. Be careful what you vote for.
Indeed.
Anyway, I want to thank you for that call. I think we're getting near the end of the show. It's been Fight the Empire. We've been talking about Donald Trump and Putin and Russia and the whole Russiagate thing. And let me remind you again what the theme of this theme for today is. I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. And that was by Malcolm X. Keep that in mind. There's a lot of truth that still is waiting to be revealed, and let's sort of keep the heat going so that all the truth comes out about all of them. So thank you for listening, and stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
KBOO Community Radio and the Jazz Society of Oregon are proud to present the 38th Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd at Cathedral Park in North Portland. New this year, KBOO will broadcast the Friday Night Blues starting at 5 p.m., and Saturday's live broadcast will begin at 2 p.m. That's the 38th Annual Cathedral Park Jazz Festival, broadcasting Friday and Saturday, July 20th and 21st, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, you're listening to KBO Portland. Time is 10 o'clock. Up next is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, David Naiman talks to Chelsea Hudson about her new book of essays, Tonight, I'm Someone Else. All these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. Stay tuned.